Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Pressure to profile.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The British government is under pressure over airport security. There's a growing call to speed up new security checks by targeting specific groups of passengers. From London, Stephen Beard says the plan is proving controversial.
Searching half the passengers by hand has led to long delays and cancellations. Some airline officials are calling for a more focused approach. They want the security services to draw up a profile of a terrorist suspect. Airport security staff would then screen more heavily people that fit that profile. Security expert Philip Baum supports the move, although he concedes it would mean young South Asian males would be scrutinised most closely.
We have to accept that given where the current threat is coming from, there is likely to be a larger percentage of that passenger population set aside for alternative screening processes.
But a senior British Muslim police officer says any racial profiling would be a big mistake. He says it would risk creating a new offence in Britain of travelling while Asian, which would alienate the community best able to combat the current terrorist threat. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
More than 80 Latin American immigrants are suing a New Orleans hotel chain. They claim Decatur Hotels failed to live up to employment promises. Under the guest worker program, the chain recruited the immigrants after Hurricane Katrina. The program ties the workers to the company through their visas. This makes it illegal for them to work for any other employer. They say that Decatur has underpaid them or cut their hours. One claim is that some got just $18 for 2 weeks of work. The web is hot in India. A new study says the use of the internet has grown faster there than in China, Japan, and Germany. It's even outpaced the U.S., which has more internet users than anywhere else in the world. Miranda Kennedy gives us the digital details.
India now has the world's ninth largest online community, 18 million web users. That's still tiny compared to the 153 million Americans who are online. But Kiran Karnick, head of India's IT Industry Association, says India started out with so few people using computers that there's massive room for growth.
Here's a very, very large country with a growing middle class and growing disposable incomes. Now accessing these services online, which puts them straight away into the global market.
eBay, Yahoo, and Google are already ramping up their presence in India to take advantage of the new web users. And Karnick says there's other signs of India's growth as an online powerhouse. Not only are its people surfing the web more, its IT companies will export 30% more software and services over the next few years. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Strong numbers from Wall Street for Wednesday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 96 points to 11,327. The NASDAQ climbed 34 points to 2149. And the S&P 500 was up 9 points at 1295. But in Tokyo this morning, the Nikkei slipped 50 points. This is Marketplace. We often assume that people with very low incomes have poor health. But a new study suggests being middle class is no lock on having good health. Karina Wu explains.
Using data from the 2000 census, researchers looked at older people in 9 different income levels, ranging from below the poverty line to 7 times that amount. The study found that the poorest individuals were the most likely to be disabled. But unexpectedly, people with middle-class incomes were still at a disadvantage compared to those slightly better off. Study author Meredith Minkler is a professor of health and social behavior.
We know the upper class has lower rates of smoking. They may have less stress, better access to health coverage, healthier environments, even compared to those living in comfortable middle-class situations.
The study appears in today's New England Journal of Medicine. In Washington, I'm Karina Wu for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The NFL season begins on September 7th. By that time, each team will have played four preseason games. Washington Redskins running back Clinton Portis has already been hurt in one of them. Portis thinks the league should shorten the preseason. I asked David Carter of the USC Sports Business Institute to weigh in.
I think it was interesting when Portis came out and suggested that the preseason was a little bit too long, but you're talking about the NFL juggernaut. You're talking about this expansive preseason. It's been wildly successful for them. The preseason is bigger than any one star or any one team, so there's really no reason for the NFL to curtail this. I mean, it again has become a cottage industry unto itself when you think of all the people that benefit from it, all the folks attached to the industry that are making money off of it. And so there's really no reason to curtail it at this point. So from a sports business perspective, it seems to be about right.
Hasn't the NFL also extended that preseason back even a little further by starting games often in another country?
I think it actually even predates the actual exhibitions themselves. That to me, the season has extended to start really with the April NFL draft, because at that point, it's the fantasy leaguers that start to get involved. It's the people that are following their teams that are looking for any tidbit of information. And so now the season extends, I think, even prior to preseason, from April all the way through until February when the Pro Bowl takes place. And again, there's no real sign of fan fatigue, so why should the NFL mitigate this length?
Does the league pull in a sizable amount of revenue from TV or other sources for the preseason schedule?
Well, the league does, but also there are others that do as well. You're seeing venues and cities around the country aggressively compete for the right to host training camps, and I think you're seeing sponsors clamor for a chance to get in front of these rabid fans earlier and earlier each year to sell product and market their services. So it's not just the NFL. It's those that are attached to the league in some fashion that are making money off the preseason as well.
You talked about the fantasy football fans. They're obviously into this. How do they feed into the NFL mania?
When you look at the demographic of those that are playing fantasy sports, they are vital to the NFL. They're vital to all sports because the amount of money that they make, just how into and closely they follow their respective leagues, they are really living vicariously through the NFL. And by extension, I think that helps the league. It helps the sponsors. It helps the network. So, again, I think you have to add on top of this the sports media. The sports media knows that these fans have an insatiable appetite, so they want to not just tell them what the news might be, but provide them with the kind of data and information that will help them with their fantasy sports as well.
Do you think that the injury to Portis has made other NFL players also feel like maybe we should shorten the preseason a bit?
Oh, I'm sure that's the case. I mean, if you look at other sports around the country, other established leagues, their preseasons might not be as long. They may not be gaining the same kind of coverage, both domestically and abroad, that the NFL is getting. But again, the NFL players, they now look at a minimum of 20 ball games if you exclude playoffs. And that is an awful lot. But again, they're also benefiting tremendously from this. You had Matt Leinart, the former USC quarterback, signed early this week for the Cardinals, deal greater than $50 million. So it strikes me that players want to have their cake and eat it, too.
David Carter is the director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
When it comes to air travel, there's plenty of airlines.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.